Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, welcome. We're running a second or two late. I hope we're not too late. Welcome to Facebook Live with Oikos Ministries. I'm Terrell Hebert, and we'll be teaching tonight on Matthew chapter 7 and just on verse 6. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. If you've missed any of that up to this point, we invite you to our website at www.housechurchesusa.com. You can go there and catch up on anything you may have missed. And I would encourage you to go back. This is a wonderful series. I love teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And, this is part 8 of this teaching, and it's so far it's been a real blessing. Had a lot of comments from last week on the Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5. We just titled it simply "Judge Not." We spent the whole evening discussing that issue, and what we learn is that Christ didn't tell us. Actually, it starts out with "Judge not, lest you be judged." But he ends up that the whole teaching was for us not to be hypocritical in judgment. So we dealt with the whole idea of God's judgments versus man's judgment. And the fact is, most of the time, Christianity gets a very bad rap in the idea that, judge not. When we tell folks what God says, they say, "You're judging me." And that couldn't be further from the truth. We're not judging you. The Word of God has already judged you and or judged a situation or a particular behavior or a sin or whatever it may be. And if God has judged it, we're not judging. We're already warning what God has said. And so that's not me or you judging. Now, there are the other side of judgment is man's opinion, where men just dream up their own judgments. And pretty much that's where the world's at. They believe that. And, you get to the bottom line of judging. Judgment is a law term. And so you have to understand who's in authority. And I believe that God Almighty, our Creator, is in ultimate authority. And Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord and Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's in authority. And we just bow to that and yield to that higher than any other court. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, God is judge Himself. And really, when you get to the bottom line of judgment, especially for the wicked, God will be the final say in judgment. And so we need to be aware of that. So we dealt with that. We dealt with the idea that most of this idea of judge not lest you be judged was not about judging. It was about hypocrisy in that judgment. That if we're going to make judgments according to God's Word, we can't have our own lives out of order from God's Word. And that's really what it came down to. So dealing with our own issues before we help someone deal with theirs. And so that's pretty much what Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5. But as I said last week, I believe that there's no other phrase ever in the Bible has been hijacked by the demonic than "judge not." And if we read it, I want to read it all in context one more time tonight as we start Matthew 7 verses 1 through 6. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me help pull out the mote out of your eye,' and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote of your brother's eye." Now, you see there, so just once again, the idea is get your own life in order before you try to help someone else. And in verse 6, here's what we're going to cover tonight. He says, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn again and rend you." Now, this is all in the same context with "judge not." Now, I want to point out, and I want you to see that clearly, that as soon as Jesus gets through teaching us to judge not, he judged a group of people, or actually a couple of groups of people, and he compared them with the comparison of dogs and hogs. See that? He said, give not that which is holy to the dogs. Oh, wow. He called people dogs, or referred to them as dogs, or compared them. Then he said, don't give your pearls to the swine, a pig. And so he's literally talking about people. He's not talking about actual animals here. He's comparing people to animals. And we want to look at that tonight to see what he's talking about and get a better understanding of what our Lord was saying. You know, the idea that Jesus didn't really come down hard on some issues and on certain things is, you know, especially in this perverse generation where so much of the Word of God has been twisted, and basically God loves you so much that there's nothing else other than God loves you. There's really no holiness. There's no sin. There's no nothing. Just God loves you, and be happy. God loves you. I mean, that's all you hear. It has literally permeated the airwaves. It's taken away all fear of God. It's taken away all judgment. There's really no reason. I mean, you listen long enough and even the devil gets saved according to those that thinking. And so I think it's been an affront to God. It's literally creating a false God. And it's a terrible thing that's been done. Yeah, God loves us. I don't want to depreciate the Word of God at all. God does love. He is the very personification of love. But he's also holy. He's also light. He's also judge. Yet we downplay all those other attributes and hang all the weight on one nail. And it's wrong. It's literally an idolatry. It's carving out a new God. And so here he says, give not that which is holy to the dogs. Now, apparently he's dealing with a certain group of people. Now let's just deal with it exegetically. Give not that which is holy. Now, one summarization I want to make overview before I jump right into the specifics. Give not which is holy to the dogs. Don't cast pearls before swine. Now, one of the most wonderful things we have in Christianity is the gospel itself, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do not believe he's telling us to withhold that from anyone. I believe we're to go and share the gospel. We're also to go and the Great Commission tells us to make disciples of the nations. So how could it be? I don't believe he's telling us don't talk to some people unless they're the right fit or they're already nice people or they're right. I don't believe he's teaching that at all. I believe there's going to be some terrible type people we share Jesus with, and we come to know them as brother and sister before it's over with. So again, that I don't think that's the reference at all. Now, keep in mind now, we've got this whole Sermon on the Mount we've been teaching through, and he sums up with, judge not, lest you be judged. And we've talked about that earlier, about apparently the whole context of that is that among the Pharisaical and, well, among the Jewish people, there was a problematic issue of judging. And we can see that on all the addendums made to the law and make it impossible and unbearable, not even pleasant to be a Jew after a time. It's like it was so nitpicking and so harsh. And these were man's judgments, addendums, add-ons that literally sucked the life right out of or Judaism. And the same, we see the same in Christianity many times, that people suck the life right out of it with a law type teaching, and with, you know, and even by the other extreme of hyper grace. Both of them are lifeless if you get down to it. Both of them are lifeless. And so let's get specifically, give not that which is holy to the dogs, lest, and the same with the hog, that lest they turn around and they rend you. Now, think about this. Let's just think about it just for a second. When you take the teachings of God and a person who is in the category of dog or hog, you think this through, that when we take that, they will turn around with your own words and rend you. For instance, if you say, God says it's a sin to fornicate. I'm just putting that out in general. Well, if you're talking to somebody who goes to church and they're a fornicator, they're going to take exception to it. I mean, they're going to get mad at you, and then they'll turn that on you and say you're judging. Now, there's an actual, and then they label you as a judgmental law preacher. That's usually where this goes. Now, if we like it, I want to break this down. I'm going to spend the whole time on one verse. So, give not that which is holy to the dog. Now, holy is a word that means to set apart. It's a word that ascribes to God. It literally is a word that absolutely, when you see God, it's the first thing everybody ever says, holy, holy, holy. And it is that word, hagios in the Greek term, and it means holy, separated. It also means, let me put my glasses on, excuse me, folks. There we go. It means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated, and it is the common word for people who were born again called saints. Now, I know in Roman Catholicism, they've taken that and said there's only a handful of saints. That is not true. The Bible termed any person who was born again to be a saint of God. And so, saint was the general term for everyone who was part of the family of God. And so, let's keep moving with it. Now, a dog, literally, we know all know what a dog, and I have to tread lightly here, not that I might offend people concerning what God's word says here, that they might get offended about what I'm finna say about dogs. It's really bizarre. People love their dogs more than they love people, and that's kind of true right now. And so when we look at this, a dog is, can be, without question, it could be just the animal we know as a dog, or it can be a man of an impure mind. Impudent. Contemptuous. With a disregard for others. Lacking morality. Lacking modesty. These were all things that would apply. Now, I believe when you start looking at this and getting into it, that Jesus referred to it. Now, I'm going to bring one Old Testament verse up. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 18, it says that a dog was a male prostitute. Do not bring the price of a dog into the temple. And basically, the price of a dog was the price that a male prostitute, and we're talking about a homosexual act, using that money or bringing that to, you know, worship God with. That had no part in the temple. And so he said, so that's one understanding of when a dog was, the homosexuals were referred to as dogs in the old covenant. Now, here we are in this generation. I'm telling you, every week we're getting flagged on Facebook as we're not meeting community standards. I am telling you, I have not called any homosexual a dog. I'm telling you though, that the book of Deuteronomy refers to a homosexual prostitute as a dog. Now that's the Bible. Okay? And so if that don't meet community standards, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I would challenge our Facebook, judges who judge to do the same to the Muhammad, to the Quran, and let me see how that works for you. Y'all have to make a deal with me. Please let me see how that works if you start saying the Quran doesn't meet community standards. Let's try that one out. I'm telling you the Bible says, and that's all I'm going by. And so when we start looking at enlarging the thought on that, there's several places where Jesus referred to people as dogs. Now, if that ain't the Jesus you know, maybe you don't know the Jesus of the Bible. Real good possibility, because this is not taught on too much. All right, so let's turn to Matthew 15. That's where we'll go first. I'll just read it in its entirety. Matthew 15, 22, we'll start there. We'll start in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. There you go. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, this has always been an amazing passage to me in the idea that he called this woman a dog. Now, to be fair, the proper Greek word refers to this as a little dog or a puppy or maybe just a smaller dog. Then that's fine. Still a dog. I don't care how big it is. It's a dog. It will absolutely sniff butts and eat poo-poo. It will eat vomit. It will be the grossest thing. I don't care how much you love your dog. Your dog will do all those things. It will roll in poo-poo if it can find some. It will absolutely eat the cat's dung. The horrors that a dog will do. He referred to this girl as a dog. Wow. All right. So she says, he said, listen, it is not, Jesus said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, he knew his business and he was laser focused that he was trying to reach those people who had left the synagogue, had left the temple, and he was looking for the lost sheep of Israel. And so he was trying to rein them back in. They were out there. That's why he got the nickname of friend of sinners and that type of thing, because they had fallen so far away that they were in drunken feasts and brawls and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus would go to them to call them back to God. He said, it's a new day. Repent. The kingdom of God's at hand. We're bypassing the old synagogue system. We're bypassing the old Judaism. You know, come on. We're bypassing. We're going to get to the heart of it. God wants to build a community of people who have a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, that have been born again, who are changed, who's forgiven, who don't walk in sin, who walk with God. Come on, man. He was pulling them in. Now, it was a common thing to know that people were called, any non-Jew was referred to as a Gentile dog. I mean, this was common. King David threw it at the Philistine. The Philistine threw it at David. Who is this dog? What am I, a dog that you'd send out this? So, in other words, to call a person a dog was an absolute horrible insult. It was terrible. Now, I realize we've elevated the status of dog to above human at this point, but they're still dogs. They are still dogs. And they're still pretty gross. I love my dog, but she's gross. And the fact is that we have to understand what Jesus was referring to here. And he said, it's not good for me. It's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to a dog. Now, I want you to think of where this woman was at that point. And when we do we tiptoe around in this age of seeker sensitive we make sure nobody gets offended because we call something out. We can't offend nobody. He called the girl a dog. I mean, think about it. It is not good for me to take what's for the lost sheep of the house of Israel and give it to you, a dog. This woman could have taken all sorts of exception about that. This woman could have got bent out of shape, hurt about it. She could have thrown a fit. She could have, in her pride, stood her ground and said, who you calling a dog? I mean, listen, in this generation, trust me, there ain't a handful of people who would allow someone to say, you're a dog. I'm just telling you right now. To me, this is an amazing idea. Jesus looked at her and said, it's not good for me to take the children's bread and give it to a dog. And she took it. I'm reminded of the Samaritan woman at the well. And he said, lady, you worship. You don't even know what you worship. And she took it. Try that out. Listen, all my evangelist friends out there, try that out. Go try it out to someone. You don't even know what you worship. You ain't ready for the argument that will ensue. They will absolutely, I'm telling you, the dumbest people on the planet who don't even know one Bible verse will have an argument all day long with you. You don't tell me. I don't know what I worship. This is the point that I'm trying to, there's a pride in our generation that won't allow any of this. Everything's offensive, right? Jesus said, it's not good for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Let me back up. It says she worshiped him. Can you see that? I mean, when an offensive thing is said like that, I'm going to tell you right now, you say that in a church and you're liable to lose half your congregation. You say that anywhere and you're liable to lose almost all the hearers. I mean, people might have turned this off because I just said dogs eat their vomit. Who knows? I mean, they just don't. I mean, people get offended. All right. And so here we are. Jesus, she worshiped him. After all that said, she worshiped him. Yes, Lord. Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. She was ready to take the humble posture. And this is why I believe that when we look at this case and really break it down, she took such a humble posture. Yes, Lord, my daughter is sick, tormented by demons. I can't do that. These miracles are meant just for the children of Israel. She began to worship him. Lord God, please help me. Even the puppies get to eat the crumbs. He said, woman, great is your faith. The idea that she would humble herself. Now, when Jesus says on the other side of this coin, he says, don't give what's holy to the dogs. So wouldn't it stand to reason in the light and the context of where he's just calling this person a dog? But look, she's humble. She's posturing and worshipful. She's just like, man, call me what you want to. I accept it. I am nothing. Help me and help my daughter. He said, great is your faith. And she got her miracle, by the way. But I want you to see, I believe the other side of that coin is the proud, especially the religious proud, that absolutely, ha! Who made you the Pope? What gives you the right to say anything? All you're supposed to do is love. I mean to tell you, they will tell you what you need to say and how you need to say it and the attitude you should deliver it with. And oh boy, they're going to come at you at all kinds of angles. Jesus said, don't cast what's holy to the dog. Don't give it to them. All right? And later he says, lest they'll turn around and they'll tear you with it. They'll rend you with it. And it's like every time we try to share the word of God with a proud dog, they're ready to gut you. Stay with me if you want to. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I think it'll further build my point. If you like these points, if you know, you might not like this by now. That's all right. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Wow. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this is an amazing. He said, beware. Three things. Beware of dogs. Beware of the concision. Beware of evil workers. Okay. Now the concision was those who wanted people to get circumcised in order to be saved. All right. And literally that would be the understanding of the work of the law. It literally would be the work of the law. When we talk about works of the law for salvation, then basically it would be literally the blood shedding of, and the cutting of covenant through the literally cutting away the excess flesh from the life source of flesh, leaving a person bloodied and then permanently scarred. This was the old covenant blood cutting. It's how you entered the old covenant. That's how you stepped in. You cut your blood to enter agreement with God. Now, We don't do that anymore. And so anyone who says you're a law preacher, you teach salvation by work. No, the work of the law for salvation. I ain't never told anybody get circumcision. Go look and ask anybody who ever talked to me. I don't do that. And the other side of the work of the law would be that the sacrificial system of shedding of blood to be made right with God as an act of righteousness, ceremonial cleanliness. Never taught one time you need to shed blood. Nowhere, no way. Jose, I'm telling you, I don't believe in the works of the law for the shedding of blood, all finished with the finished work that Christ is the end of righteousness for all who believe. And I believe his blood covered all the work of the law. That's it. Now, does that mean we don't have to keep commandments? Whole nother story. Blood cutting, covenant, and then covenant keeping. We have two different issues to deal with. I'm not going to go there tonight. But he says, beware of dogs. Now, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. So there were evil workers. Beware of dogs. He called them dogs. Now, our mind has to wander. We know he's referenced through the old covenant. Let me start with the general term, Gentile dogs. I don't think he's referring to that. I'm not positive, but I don't think he's referring to the homosexual dog. I don't believe he's thinking that way. He's calling the Pharisees dogs for what they were doing. And he called them evil workers for what they were doing. They were the concision. They wanted people to get circumcised to ensure that they were saved. That was the problem. And he said, look what he said. I love this. He said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. And so, literally, if we look at the idea of Paul's expounding on this in the book of Colossians, he said that baptism, literally, the like figure, he was comparing baptism and circumcision, that literally we put away the old man, the flesh is cut out of the heart, right? And we get a new heart, a new spirit. So the life source of the spirit is made new. There's where the cutting is, and we're cut because we've had it revealed to us that God let Jesus die in our place. This cuts the heart to the quick. And literally it cuts it so deep that it's taken out. We get a new heart and a new spirit. We are we're circumcised through the new birth. That's the idea of a new heart, a new spirit will I give unto you. And that's the entrance into the new covenant. Now, when others begin to teach, the blood of Jesus plus something else, he called them dogs. He called them evil workers. He called them the concision. The mutilators would be a better word. All right. So he's referring now to religious folks. Now, in particular, the Jews here. But I want to tell you right now, we have a whole group of Christian folks today that I believe are just as much in the flesh as the Jews were. They wanted to count nickels and noses. They want to make a fair show of you in the flesh. They want to tell you how many people are in their church. They want to tell you how many. They want to all the numbers. And they said, look what we have done. Look what we have grown. Look at all the people we've added to us. And I'm telling you, it ain't a lick of difference. They want to make a fair show out of you. And buddy, there's a whole lot of approaches to that in this generation. And a lot of it comes down to money and the such like. So beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And again, Jesus is referring to people that I believe. Now, if you want to really look at this carefully, look a little further in this same passage. He said, we have no confidence. We worship Jesus in the flesh, in the spirit. We have no confidence in the flesh. He said, if any man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I am more. I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Literally, he took his religious pedigree and compared it and weighed it in the balances as dung. all my religious upbringing. And folks, if you think I'm just a religion basher, you better think again. Listen to me carefully. All of my religious upbringing means nothing compared to what I found in Jesus Christ. My new birth meant everything. And so I don't care what religion, I will bash them all. None of them make a hill of beans to me. It's the relationship with Jesus. It's the new birth. It's the entrance of covenant through the cross and the new heart, the new spirit that he gives us. And so, yeah, anyone who's teaching another gospel, anyone who is working a worker of iniquity, anyone who's working to pull people away from the very purity of the gospel of Christ is a dog, is an evil worker, is a mutilator. I mean, they have churches right now that are for abortion. You want to talk about mutilators? They have churches that are for abortion. I will be flagged again. Listen to me carefully. I will be flagged again. Facebook will say, you can't share that. This does not meet our community standards. You're judging. And they're judging me back. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go back. Let's go back to our text in Matthew 7. Having fun yet? Any dogs out there? Oh, help me now. Who let the dogs out? Because they're about everywhere nowadays. Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. It ain't bad enough to be a dog. How about a hog? Huh? It don't get much grosser than a hog. I'm a farmer. I have cattle and all kind of. There ain't much grosser than a hog. Maybe a chicken, maybe a duck. They're all nasty. They're really, really, really gross. Okay. And so he said, don't give your pearls to the swine. Now, literally, the pearl was a reference to that cultivated piece of sand that's inside of an oyster that makes a pearl. The Bible says that each gate of the holy city in glory is going to be made out of one pearl. Isn't that amazing? Now, either he's going to shrink us to little bitty people, or there's some big old honking oysters making pearls somewhere. All right. So I don't know which, but I'm happy about it either way. Glory to God. And so he said, don't take the pearls and put them to the swine. Can you imagine putting a string of pearls on a hog? I want you to just think that through. Now, look, I'm just telling you, a hog, you just can't get much grosser. I mean, to tell you, that hog will lay in, I'm telling you, you can take the cover off your Modad and the hog would swim in it and have lunch there. Is you talking about moral depravity to the utmost? It is a nasty creature. Now, look carefully at this thing, because if you think dogs are bad, what do we get through with this one? All right. It means a hog or a pig. Well, you know, we all learned that at old McDonald's farm, so we don't have to really. But it was literally deemed unclean. I'm going to tell you right now, unclean. The Bible called, you know how powerful the blood of Jesus is? It even cleans up bacon. Glory be to God. Thank God we can eat hog meat now. Glory to God. Somebody praise him. All right. Now, in Matthew, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 5. Let's go there. Y'all probably remember the story called the Gadarene demoniac. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it's pretty lengthy. And, of course, the man was a madman. He was literally tormented by so many demons that he lived among the tombs, and he cut himself and slashed himself, and it was a horrible situation. And when Jesus comes on, nobody could even pass by the way because he would just, they'd try to bind him up and he'd break the chains. You talking about a person with superhuman strength, demonized to the core and in a tormented shape. And here comes Jesus and encounters this guy. And literally he comes in and he casts the demons out of this man. Now, the Bible said there was a herd of swine, a herd of pigs, about 2,000 hogs feeding. And when he cast the devil, I said, don't send us, send us into the swine. I don't know why Jesus let him go there, but he did. He said, go. 2,000 hogs stampeded over the cliff and they were all drowned. Boy, the Samaritans did not like this at all. They came out to see what was going on. They said, oh, wow. Look, our living. I mean, they asked him to leave. Can you imagine? They saw the man who was once possessed by the devil, the man that everyone feared. Everybody knew about him. And literally he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. I mean, this is a wonderful picture of deliverance. You're not crazy anymore. You're literally delivered from devils. And he's sitting there clothed and in his right mind. The people are looking at that. I can't for the life of me understand that. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. Yeah, it's hard to fathom 2,000 hogs dead on the scene. But it's even harder to fathom a man that no man could tame was sitting there clothed in his right mind, perfectly sane. What a wonderful miracle. And the man said, Lord, let me go with you wherever you go. He said, no. I want you to go home and tell your friends what good things that I've done for you. Come on. And so he went back to Decapolis and began to publish it, blaze it abroad. He told everybody, let me tell you. I mean, that was his whole Bible training. Jesus said, go home and tell everybody what I just did. Can you imagine? What a witness. He blazed it abroad and told them all. Now, here's the picture. Do not give that which is holy to the pigs. I mean, don't give your pearls to the swine. Now, here's the beauty. Here's a man who was naked all the time. Can you imagine? Naked all the time. You couldn't even come near him. He would hurt you. He was vulgar. He was filthy. Totally living among the tombs. He would cut himself. He's a bloody mess. You just understand. He is a mess. And Jesus commanded the demons to go. And here's the man fully sane. And here's the people, the other people who should say, tell us what power is it. Tell us your message. Nope. You killed our hogs. Would you leave, please? Think about it. They valued the pig more than the man. Think about it. Because there's a lot of people who believe, who value dogs and hogs more than people. And that's a real thing right now. It's actually terrible. I mean, people boast about this. Give me my dog. Get rid of the people. Give me my dog. It's a sad day. I want you to turn with me also to Luke 15. You don't have to turn there. Let's just talk about the prodigal son. Y'all all know the story. The boy said, give me my living, daddy. I don't want to live here no more. I want to go out and take my inheritance and go live it up a little while. And daddy gave him his inheritance and off he went. And boy, he was having him a time till the money ran out. Don't we all? Boy, he was living it up. He had buddies and friends and then the money ran out and he had nothing. And he was reduced down to literally tending someone else's herd of pigs. And he said, oh boy, his stomach hurt. I wish I could eat the slop. Can you imagine desiring to eat pig food? I wish I could eat that. Now, if you've never been around hogs, to do yourself some good, to understand this sermon, go find a pig farmer and go hang out there for about a few minutes. It don't take long. You will totally understand what I'm telling you. We were in Peru, and we were out in a ministry thing all day, and a lot of the ladies needed to use the restroom. Well, they said, well, there's an outhouse right over here. And so they go to this outhouse. Well, there's hogs under the outhouse calling for a fair catch. You know, it's just like, no, we, you know, that's what they fed them. Jesus called people hogs. You can't degrade a person much more than say, you're a hog. You're a swine. The prodigal son was wishing he could eat what pigs eat. Are you serious? Oh, at my father's house, it's way better than this. Man, if I could just, I could be one of his servants and eat better than this. And so I'm going to go home and say, I've sinned before God and before you. Please accept me as a servant. I'll just serve as one of the hired hands for the rest of my life. Have mercy on me. And when the daddy saw him, he saw him far away off, and boy, he went and got him and hugged him and loved him and put on a good robe and a ring. And boy, he was so happy to receive him. Let's kill the fatted calf. This is my son. He's returned to me. He was dead. Now he's alive. And we know what old brother was doing over in the background. Brother was so mad. Why y'all partying over him? He done spent all your money. All he been doing is wasting money all this time. Look at him. His brother's probably the reason he left in the first place. And so he just basically, he comes back and the daddy says, son, everything I have is yours. You can have a calf any day you want to, but your brother was lost and now he's found. He was dead. Now he's alive. Rejoice. You see, I believe there are people who can't stand it when people, others get saved, healed, delivered, set free. I don't believe they like it. It's the truth. Look at them. We mentioned this last week some, and it said, when Jesus said, judge righteous judgment, he said, you judge after the appearance. He said, I'm telling you, judge righteous judgment. What was that about? Oh, they were in the temple, the guy with the withered hand. He said, stretch out your hand. They were mad because he got healed on the Sabbath. I don't care what day you get healed. Huh? I just want to see you get healed. There are people who said, my religion don't want you healed on a certain day. We could cut your flesh on the Sabbath, but we could never heal it on the Sabbath. Are you serious? Jesus said, men judge after appearance, but we should judge righteous judgment. We went into that last week. And we have to understand there are people who don't want to see folks come back into a good way. There are people who don't want to see them repent. They're so offended. They live offended. Now, stay with me because now we're going to get to it in a stronger sense. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. That was the mild stuff. Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Here's why. Lest they trample them underfoot and turn again and rend you. Trample underfoot, to trot it underfoot. This is problematic. When you take the Word of God and walk on it, when you take the Son of God and walk on Him, when you take the blood and walk on it, then it gets very problematic. And especially in the context of judge not. I'm telling you, people get so offended when you call out their sin. Right now, there's this kind of like this conspiracy among the prophets, as Ezekiel said, that everybody has an unwritten rule. We don't make anybody feel uncomfortable. We don't talk. We don't make anybody squirm over sin. None of that's we just don't do that. And when someone does, then they should be labeled. And we put all kind of labels on the one who would. And they're worth that. Now, that's the only person who literally we all have a right to judge them. We can judge them, right? He said, in Matthew chapter 5, early on in the Sermon on the Mount, we saw that if the salt has lost its savor, if it's lost its flavor, you don't say, my salt ain't salty. We don't put more salt on it and go, now it's better. Give me a salt shaker so I can make the salt. But it doesn't work that way. This salt has no salt in itself. So we throw it out and it's good for nothing but to be cast under, to be trodden underfoot. And so we see that the idea that there are people who have lost the saltiness of Christianity, and now they're all they're good for is to be trodden underfoot. I believe that whenever you come to a place like that, then if that's your lifestyle, you'll trod anything underfoot. Stay with me. In Matthew chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 10, that's the one I want you to see. Let's get back there. Hebrews 10. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Listen to that verse carefully. To me, it's one of the most frightening passages in the Bible. For if we sin willfully, that's called presumptuous sin. I think it's even further than that now. I believe I haven't heard anyone else say that. I use the phrase presumptuous grace now. That literally, presumptuous or willful sin means I'm going to sin because I know God will forgive me. I personally believe this is the unpardonable sin. I do not believe there's any grace for it. If we sin willfully after that, look carefully. If we sin willfully after that, we've received the knowledge of the truth. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. So if you just can sin, you're supposed to be a Christian. You keep on sinning willful. You just do your whole sinful practice. There is no blood that will cover you. That's what this is saying. And there are people who will take great exception to this because they love their sin. They want heaven, but they want to sin right now. They want to live like a pig or a dog, but they want heaven too. I'll promise you, there's not going to be dogs and hogs in the streets of glory. We'll get to that in a minute. Oh Lord, help us. I'm a little bit more afraid of approaching this than if I were sending people to hell. Don't send a dog to hell. Lord have mercy. Somebody will put out a contract on you. Look at it. If we sin willfully after that, we receive the knowledge of the truth. There remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Okay, under Moses' law, go read it in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers 15 covers the whole idea of the sin of ignorance and the sin of presumptuous. All right? A sin of ignorance said, "Ooh, I didn't know that was a sin." And there was a, you could go commit a sacrifice and you would be forgiven. That sin was put away. You could only claim that once. "Oh, I didn't know." That's what you said last week. You do know. You just want to keep doing it. There was one sacrifice for ignorance. After that, you couldn't claim ignorance. And if you think this wasn't powerfully impacting, you commit a sin and then kill an animal because of what you did. I defy you right now. In this tenderfoot generation, look, as I said a little earlier, I'm a farmer. You have to put an animal down and just tell me who got the guts. Folk don't mind shooting each other, but it's hard to shoot an animal. I'm just telling you, it takes some doing to get your nerve up to shoot the critter that's just sitting there innocent. When you think about taking that critter because of your sin and cutting its throat, and putting it away, killing it because of what you did, it would be impacting. Now, if you think about that and apply it to Christ, that if you look at what your sin killed Jesus, if that doesn't impact you more than a sacrificial animal, the Son of God died because of what you do. You can plead ignorant one time. The Bible says we've come to the sprinkling of the blood. Now, I believe it can be sprinkled on this side of the cross, but the idea of it having to be poured out every day for you, something's wrong. You've not been born again. Keep reading. Watch what he says. He that despised Moses' law, read it in Numbers 15. He deals with the sin of ignorance and the presumptuous sin. That's someone who willfully sins again and again. The Apostle John said in 1 John, he said, there is a sin not unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. There's a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. And I believe that sin unto death would be the presumptuous sin. There are people who just sin on purpose and say, God's going to forgive me. I got news for you. He's not. But I want you to notice this, what he says. Under Moses' law, the same Numbers 15, they caught a man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And they said, "Hey, Moses, this man was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. What should we do?" And they went before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Kill him." And they stoned him till he was dead. I want you to think about that. They threw rocks at this man till he was dead for working on the Sabbath, breaking the law of the Sabbath. Now, under Moses' law, with the hand of two or three witnesses, a person could be put to death. Now, literally, that don't mean he went to hell. It just means his life was aborted because of his sin. That could be a temporal judgment. The person still could go to heaven or to Abram's bosom at that time. I'm not trying to make you a loophole case, but that's a possibility. On the other side, then, how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Insult, that's what doing despite means, to insult the Spirit of grace. And I can tell you right now, we're in a generation that insults the Spirit of grace. That literally claiming grace while you're sinning like a hog or a dog. You've gone back to your vomit. You literally live like an animal. Immodest. I'm talking about vulgar, drunkards, fornicators. But claiming grace. Well, you know, we all sin. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's sin. Everybody's sin. We all sin. You know, I can hear the chorus going up right now. Everybody, oh, nobody's perfect. Everybody's sin. We all sin. We sin every day. We can't help ourselves. We just sin. You're a dog is what you are. You're a hog or a dog. Have you no triune nature in you? Is your spirit not revived? Are you reduced down to a two-dimensional animal where all you have is soul and body? Have you no Holy Spirit? Have you no human spirit? Are you still dead in your trespass and sin? If Christ has raised you and you become a new creature and now you have the knowledge of God and yet you want to continue in sin, you're insulting the Spirit of grace. It's an insult. Can you, as a drunkard, sit on a bar stool and tell me how saved you are? And literally walk on the blood of Jesus? To walk on the Son of God and count the blood an unholy thing as you and your filthy sin want to slur this from your filthy mouth? Insult. You say, well, it's insulting to call someone a dog or a hog. Well, it's insulting for the Holy Spirit for you to call yourself a saint when you're a pig. Come on, man. I'm going to say it out loud. There I said it. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll get even better. It even gets better here. This is why I wanted to take the whole hour and deal with this. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I believe we'll understand clearly why Jesus called them dogs and hogs. Verse 19, I'm going to start. Do yourself a favor. You want an eye opener, read the whole second chapter of 2 Peter. It's literally, I mean, it leaves no false prophet a leg to stand on. And he's talking and referring to these false prophets. He says in verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them with them than the beginning. Now, let me pause, because I believe there's a lot of people out there who teach right now. They teach unapologetically, unashamedly. They do such an insult to the Spirit of God of grace. They literally teach that this could not happen. If they do that, they never really were saved. Okay, that literally is a declaration of you are delusional. You are literally twisting the scripture to fit your own wicked theology. You literally are a dog and an evil worker. And a concision. A mutilator. He's telling us right now, the apostle, the word of God is telling us that if you go back, if you're entangled again into the things you were in, it's worse than from the beginning. Jesus was casting out a demon. And he said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes about seeking rest and finding none. He said, I'll return to the place from which I came out. And he comes in and finds it swept and garnished. And he brings seven others in with him. And the last end of that person is worse than the first. This is exactly what Peter is describing here. And I think this is the God-breathed word. It had been better for them had they not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Again, the concisions say, you can't turn. Once you have it, you can't lose it. You could never go back. Or if you do, you never were, you never had it. It's a damnable heresy. It's a teaching that will send you to hell. Here's the key. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Boy, that clears it all up for me. When Jesus referred to those as dogs and hogs, he was literally referring to those who walk with God and then go back. They go back. When you start seeing them saying, well, you know, they live Christian for a long time. They say, you know, a beer won't hurt you now and then. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with a glass of wine. Next thing you know, hey, man, I messed up. I drank a little bit too much the other day. The next thing you know, they just guzzling beer with their friends. Next thing you know, adultery. The next thing you know, divorces. The next thing you know, kids are all nuts, crazy, going, I mean, just as bad as them. The last end is worse than the first. But what are we going to tell you? Let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, I know about all that. I'm saved. Don't you know that? Humphrey. Now, I have washed a hog before. Have you ever washed a hog? Man, we hosed them hogs down. They were nasty. Just took that hog, washed them down. Looked just so pretty. That thing will walk straight back over there and lay right down in that stuff. He just like, oh, let me get this perfume on me. When you go back to what Jesus saved you from, you've thrown it all away. And here's the worst part of all that. When a well-meaning saint tries to recover you, you start cutting them. You're judging me. I believe the popularity of that phrase is coming right out of the mouth of a bunch of dogs and a bunch of hogs. You've returned to your vomit. You've returned to your mire. And now you hate anybody who reminds you of it and takes away your precious once saved, always saved. Chew on that. And I pray God convict you so deep that it would deliver you from delusion. God bless you. Have a great evening.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.